dualistic forces harmonized. Content in this chapter. Man, a part of the whole, dualism of man, salvation from within, man his own savior, Jesus, an example, the crucifixion an inhuman act, man, a son of God, social and reform problems, universal brotherhood the solution, the larger horizon, man in his infancy, the outer and inner eye, the former, a beneficent instrument, dualism of feeling. In material strength man is a superb animal, in spiritual power he is a divine masterpiece. In his material and spiritual strength he is a creator, the embodiment and expression of the divine principle. Pope said, all are but parts of one stupendous whole, whose body nature is, and God the soul. With an understanding of the spiritual and physical bodies will come the solution of deeper and higher problems. With an understanding of the dual man will come the ability to interpret aright the teachings of the Godhead in nature. Jesus' death upon the cross will no longer mean that he was crucified to save the souls of men. Every man must work out his own salvation. Jesus came as example to show men how to live. The fact that he was crucified by men will no longer be construed as the working out of a divine law. There was not one jot or tittle of the principle or divine law in it. It was the act of material minds. It was a most inhuman act. Through a knowledge of the teachings of celestial man can prove himself the Son of God and make for himself a heaven, though still an inhabitant on the material plane. The solution of the great problems of labor and reform will be to him as an open book. He will understand that great financial problems can be worked out by the law of universal brotherhood. The laboring man and the capitalist are each dependent upon the other for existence on the earth plane. When this fact becomes universally known, men will strive to help each other as they have never done. The world's ideas and understanding of things spiritual will be enlarged. The horizon of thought and action will indeed be broadened. There will be wonderful inventions on land and sea. People will be enabled to reach distant lands in the time that it now takes to travel 100 miles. Man is still in his infancy as regards great possibilities. The physical eyes are the outer windows of the soul. These, as we know, are marvelous pieces of mechanism, but they are not so wonderfully constructed as are the inner windows of the spiritual organism. It is through these physical eyes or windows of the soul that a great deal of the inner force finds expression. One may understand a considerable about the organs of sight by studying the camera and its lens. When one looks at an object, it is focused upon the retina of the eye. If conditions are good, the object is photographed upon the inner plate and will remain a definite or indefinite period. Some objects require the developing process to fix them. That process is feeling. Feeling has two forces, one producing pleasant experiences and the other causing grief, remorse or sorrow. Anything that is produced by either of these forces will endure forever. Time cannot obliterate the effects produced. These are interesting facts that every man should prove to his own satisfaction, and which he may do by frequently making a thorough examination of himself. Strong Son of God, immortal love, whom we, that have not seen thy face, by faith, and faith alone embrace, believe in where we cannot prove. Tennyson. Chapter 8. Physical and psychical non-transmutable. Content in this chapter. Man a twofold embodiment, one atomic, the other non-atomic, the former disintegrative, the latter complete and perfect, Christ's body, his immortal body, mistakes in the gospel record, materializing seance, method or process, the electric circuit, thought command, flower materialization, temporary release of the spirit from the physical, how materialized, death a natural law, duty to our physical body, knowledge of chemistry important. Man is dual, the inhabitant of two bodies, physical and divine. The forces that build up his two bodies consist of entirely different elements. It is impossible to transmute the force of their physical into that of the spiritual. That which composes the physical can be disintegrated and used in other physical expressions. That which builds up the spiritual is from God. This building is his completed work, good and perfect, but the physical body is imperfect. The statement that Christ laid in the tomb 3 days and then rose from the dead should not be taken in a literal sense. While he did lay in the tomb, it was in a trance or cataleptic state. His spiritual body, which was in heaven, was still connected with the physical by the electric force that holds body and spirit together. He was to all appearance dead, but not so in reality. When his spirit ascended to heaven to dwell there, it was his immortal body that was taken up, for does not the Bible say, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven? There has been a mistake in the translation of the part where reference is made to the disappearance of his body and the ascension of the physical. These things did not occur. When Jesus showed his side with the wounds in it, he took on the physical from the elements of nature in order to make himself visible to his friends. This is done in the materialization of forms at seances and in producing phantasms upon photographs and in other ways. At a seance where spirits are to be materialized, there must be present a spiritual chemist, who understands thoroughly the laws and forces of chemistry. This chemist finds the air filled with elements that go to build up physical nature. Also, he takes by the law of attraction particles from the physical beings who are present. He holds out his hands and sends out to the person whom he wishes to draw from electric vibrations. The spiritual form stands directly in front of him, and as the elements are disintegrated from the physical, they form about the spiritual. It will not do to take very much from the physical being, as it would weaken him too much, and so in order to complete the building up of the form, particles are taken from the atmosphere. When the greater part of the materialized form is built up from the elements of the atmosphere, it remains only for a moment and then goes to pieces. When there are a number of people present to draw from who are strong physically, then the body remains visible a greater length of time than the other way. When you look at a sunbeam that slants across the room, you will see that it is filled with minute particles that move constantly. It is upon such particles that the spiritual chemist sends out electrical vibrations, and by this force they are brought up and united around the spiritual body to make it visible. There are different ways of producing materialization. Sometimes the entire physical form of the medium is disintegrated or taken apart and built up so as to resemble the spirit, who occupies the physical body that has just been changed. In such a case, a tall blonde woman would appear as a short, dark spirit in materialized form. Since the spirits themselves build themselves up in the form of the medium, there is no reason to speak of it as fraud. As was said, this is done by the spirit chemist, who holds out his hands and sends forth vibrations at the command of his thought, and wherever these vibrations strike, there is a drawing of the elements toward the spiritual form that is being built up. Thought must be used at the same time. The chemist must think of what he is going to do, and that thought force draws the elements together, which the physical is constantly throwing off. When spirits take flowers from different parts of the universe, they disintegrate them, that is, they remove by the law of chemical action the spiritual element of the flower from the physical. They take this spiritual element where the flowers are to be materialized, and then they gather together the material elements from the atmosphere and build them up around it, and immediately the room is filled with flowers. Where they came from is a mystery to those present. If a person wishes to send his spiritual form out of his body to be made visible to his friends, a great deal of practice is required to do this. It is easy enough to send the spiritual body out of the physical, but not so easy to make it visible to his friends, for the spiritual form must also take on the physical elements, if it is to be made manifest. The one who wishes to transport himself out of his body must think very intently upon the most spiritual thing that he can bring to mind, and become so absorbed in his thought that nothing material appears to reach him. In a few moments he loses himself, as it were, and then he will soon be out of his body. He can without effort visit his friends, and if he wishes to show himself to them, he must use his electrical force to draw around him the material elements of nature. The man who wishes to disintegrate his body at the time of death must do so before he arises into the air. Flesh, blood and bones are too heavy to move through the air. They must be dissolved by chemical action before they can become a part of the atmosphere, Why should a person care for his physical body after the spirit has left it? According to the divine plan, death is a natural law, and no living person can work successfully against God's law. The particles which constitute the physical body belong to the atmosphere and must return to the atmosphere, but the body must be dissolved and changed by the forces of nature. A person should care for the physical while it holds the spiritual. He should keep it in perfect health. When the connection between the two no longer exists, then the material work of the individual has ended, his soul can no longer dwell within the body, and the body must again become a part of nature. All persons who are interested in the study of divine philosophy should take up the study of chemistry. By doing this they will accomplish a great deal that they could not do otherwise. They cannot do away with the philosophy of things. That is impossible. Things that are merely practical are robbed of their beauty. Practical facts clothed in philosophy must be accepted. Chapter 9. Soul progressive, not retrogressive. Content in this chapter. The physical ever-changing, spirit substance always the same, the spirit form ever becoming more ethereal and beautiful, distinctive individuality intact, first stage of progress. Electrical, second named argon, seeming reincarnation, Carrie and Mary, men responsible, evil, resultant of ignorance, the contaminated soul, sin or crime, not in the spirit world, only on the earth plane, reward. Scientists and men of intellectual power believe that man undergoes a complete change once in 7 years. The fact is that the physical man changes daily, but the spiritual form existent within the physical structure does not change, that is, it does not take on any different substance from that with which it was created. It is a part of the divine, but not of as high an order as it will be later on, as it passes through different periods of progression, being continually drawn nearer to the Godhead or center of all life. In passing through the different centers of transfiguration, the spiritual form becomes each time more ethereal and beautiful. But it never loses its identity or individuality. One may become more spiritual and beautiful, and yet there is always something about him that belongs distinctly to himself, and which one may see. The spiritual form, as it passes through the first center of life, is electrical. The force which is generated from it is electrical. It is this form of spiritual substance that is best known to the physical. But the force surrounding it is not so high as that in the centers above, since as one continues to pass onward he draws nearer to the God center. The force that prevails in the second center of life is argon. They who pass through it take on a higher state of being, that is, more beautiful and ethereal. A created soul is made in the divine image. It cannot go into a lower form than it is, because it, argon, this means a higher form of atmosphere, is the highest conception or expression of the Creator. You may say it is the masterpiece of God and is good of itself and capable of mighty unfoldment. There are various reasons to account for the fact that it seems to some people that they have been reincarnated. The thoughts of the mother while carrying her child in embryo will become sometimes so impressed upon the plastic mind as to be indelibly printed there, and as the child grows in material life and becomes old enough to reflect and analyze itself, it seems conscious that it was once some other person or lived in some other form. I will give an example. A family living years ago in an eastern state had among its members a beautiful little child of 5 years. It was a very precocious child. It passed away when almost 6 years of age. Its name was Carrie. About 6 months after its death, another child was born into the family. This child was christened Mary. The mother had grieved continually and thought daily about the child that had passed away, and hoped that the one who was soon to be born would be like her little Carrie. Just as soon as the child Mary could talk, she persisted in saying that her name was Carrie, not Mary, and as she grew older she showed many traits that were identical with those of the departed child. This was a case of prenatal influence. But the Cain-carnationist would say that the child was a reincarnation of the one who had passed on some months before her birth. This shows that things are not always what they appear to be. Celestian teachings show that in this day man has grown toward a higher understanding than that of years long ago past. The soul, the man himself, is the highest expression of God. If he commits a crime and creates infamy, it is he himself that is to be called to account, not his creator. Much of evil in the world is the result of ignorance. The time is not far distant when every individual will be ashamed to be ignorant. We believe that evil is committed through the desire to satisfy some demand of the physical body, not the soul. Conscience is in the soul, and many a man who has committed the foulest of crime has been tormented day and night by the pangs of conscience. We cannot believe, therefore, that it is the soul which is wrong, but that at the time of committing the sin man's lower nature prevailed and would not listen to the promptings of the soul. A soul that has long dwelt in a perverted body may finally despair of trying to reform the individual himself, and consequently become contaminated. After passing over it may retain for a time the evil tendencies and desires, but certainly not for long, as it cannot commit crime in the spirit world. There every man is known as he is, and if he would do wrong he must come to the earth plane to do it. There is but little satisfaction in this, however, and the contaminated soul soon wearies of it, and desires progression and to be able to reap the awards of those who are spiritual in life and nature. In coming into contact with his victim upon the other side, the remorse of conscience for a murderer is most intense. It is also for those who have wronged individuals in earth life when they meet them in the spirit world, where every wrong committed in the previous life is known. It is indeed a wonderful plan by which the soul may grow out of darkness into light and through its own efforts become a bright and shining light in the spirit world. Chapter X. Soul Progressive, Not Retrogressive, Continued. Content in this chapter: Microscopic Germ or Principle of Being, Problem of Life, The Individual Life Germ Quickened from the God Center, The Soul is of God, The Physical, Man's Own Creation, The Latter Sustained by Air Elements, The Former Supplied from the God Center, Spirit Return Proven, Reincarnation Not Proven, Karma, The Spiritualistic Idea and the Theosophical Compared, The Creator. The life cells existent within the physical organism hold within themselves the microscopic germs of future life. They are so infinitesimal that their existence is known only from the spiritual understanding. The great problem of life and existence is still agitating the world. What is life? From whence does it come? Does it have a beginning and end? I say that the individual has within him this day the microscopic principle of being that will exist thousands of years from now, and that beings who existed thousands of years in the past had within their own organisms the embryonic forces that are active within man today. In that way life grows and it is impossible to trace its beginning, and it has no ending, for life is eternal. There is no record in the spirit world that a soul has ever perished. The creator of the universe is all-powerful and never-ending. The God principle quickens individual life, causing it to grow and expand. The soul itself is of God, but the physical which grows from the spiritual is of man's own creation. God has given to man the power to create, but the divine center, the ego of life, is from God and is perfect. The physical imperfect. At the time of creation divine vibrations from the God center come in contact with the life germ and quicken it into action. Hitherto it was existent but dormant, with the quickening process it becomes suddenly awakened and begins to grow and expand. You may say there is no period when life really begins. It may not be perceptible on account of its microscopic appearance, or it may not be made conscious, but it does exist, though in so small a form that no eye save that of the Creator may see it. The very air is filled with force that must be taken into the physical in order to make it grow and to sustain it, but the soul principle, the divine center, draws its supply from the Godhead, higher up. There is no drain upon this principle, for it is eternal and vibrates from God Himself. The physical must work in order to sustain itself, but the spiritual is kept up by the higher power. The spiritual gives power also to the physical so long as the physical helps to sustain itself. Spiritual beings do not accept reincarnation. Man, the masterpiece of God, has within him the power to expand and go forward instead of backward. Man may find within nature many symbols by which he can learn how to guide himself. A tree is always a tree, it never goes back into any other form of nature. The same is true of all forms of nature, they perpetuate their own species. As the flower is the soul of the seed, so a spiritual being is the higher part of the physical. Nature is progressive, not retrogressive. It goes forward, instead of backward. This is one of their beauties of God's law. According to the spiritual idea, karma is the life center from whence vibrate the principles that communicate or connect with the soul. This supply is inexhaustible, it cannot be destroyed, it is all good, and he who receiver from that karmic center cannot move backward, he must either remain as he is or move forward along the scale of progression. Karma in spirit is God, in the physical it is the individual himself with his individuality, his consciousness and his higher faculties. There is more in the spiritualistic idea of karma than there is in the theosophical. To us it is the more satisfying and the more rational. We like to understand that our individuality cannot be destroyed and that we are the highest expression of God. If he has created within us the principles that are to lead us to a higher growth, would it be reasonable, think you, to stifle them by causing the immortal soul to dwell in some lower form of life? The soul of man is a mighty flame from the divine center, while that of an animal is but a spark and is on a lower scale than humanity. It is pleasant to think that the soul of man may, karma, spiritual beings give a higher meaning to karma than the theosophical definition. They believe and understand it to be the life force which vibrates with the soul. Go on perfecting itself through all eternity, and always retain its own personality, that which is high and yet peculiar to itself. It should make us happy to realize this. We, spiritual beings, like to think of the Creator as one who is all-loving, all-wise and all-powerful, that he is infinitely above all weakness, above all sin that may be in the physical nature. We cannot ascribe to him hate, inconsistency, wrath, cruelty or inhumany. We can only credit him with good, and to him we must look for goodness, love and higher wisdom. Chapter 11. Immortality of the Soul. Content in this chapter. No death to the soul in the world beyond, body, nothing, life from God, soul, an electrical composite of vibratory life cells, no death record in the spirit world, the soul that sinneth, it shall die, death, a symbol of sleep, an entranced and dead body, soul death unreasonable, spirit body beautiful, man's creative power, death, chemical action. There has been much discussion regarding the possibility of death to the soul upon the higher side of life. The truth is this. The physical body is nothing of itself, it is the principle of life that gives activity to the physical body. When this principle leaves the body, it takes up a higher existence on the other side of life. This principle is part of the Creator and emanates from him. It is life in its purest and highest form. Its nature is electrical and composed of electrical cells stored with vital power. The physical body is magnetic and of an entirely different principle. The physical body is a manifestation of the spiritual, but it is not immortal as is the case of the spiritual. There is no record in the spiritual world of a soul ever having perished. They who have existed for thousands of years on the other side of life furnish evidence of this fact. Families are living together who have been united for many a year. If death were possible to the soul, these family ties would have been broken in some cases at least. In the spiritual world we are instructed by philosophers and teachers that the soul is immortal, that it cannot die, since it belongs to God and his eternal principle. The Bible says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." This is explained as follows. The word soul is sometimes used in speaking of an individual and does not especially refer to the life principle. The soul that sinneth, that is, it shall not grow, it shall remain dormant and asleep within the physical body. Sleep may be likened unto death by the physical mind. There is not sufficient explanation in the different parts of the Bible to make the meaning clear. Many passages are therefore written in symbols to be translated by the thoughtful mind, In all godly creations, there is an eternal principle of life. Yon may take the seed and keep it for years, then plant it and the life is shown in the green shaft which springs up through the ground. Nature renews itself year after year, showing that life in nature is immortal, and since man is the highest manifestation of God, how inconsistent it would be to believe that God's masterpiece would not be endowed with immortal life. When the physical body has lost its life force, one may insert a needle into the flesh and the puncture remains open. In a trance condition, when the body is to all appearance dead, the same experiment may be tried and the puncture will close up. The foregoing fact proves that while the body is the same in its component parts, something is gone. If the body itself is all there is and it is an independent force of itself, why can it not restore itself and do the same as before? This proves that the physical body is not independent of itself. It is the servant of the spirit. The spiritual principle is independent, because it is from God. It requires no renewal, but is created for eternity. He would be a strange creator who gives to the soul grand and noble ambitions, the gifts of genius and talent, the faculty of love. If these were to be all annihilated and cease to exist with the destruction of the soul and all its beautiful qualities. The atmosphere is aglow with life force that is not visible to the physical sight. A flower is immortal. When it fades, the spiritual form of the flower takes up its existence in the atmosphere, while the material principle takes its place in the building up of the physical. People say that a child has not life until the quickening. This is not so. There is life from the very beginning, but it is not always apparent. Through the limitations of the physical mind, keel life of itself cannot be destroyed. There is no created element that should destroy it. People should understand that a separation of forces does not mean the destruction of life in itself. Heat and cold, light and darkness are the physical manifestations of God, and have no effect upon the spiritual expression, the immortal soul. As I have said, the spiritual form, while it resembles the physical, has in place of organs of digestion, vibratory life cells, connecting with a mighty center of force, whose supply may never diminish. This body of vibrating life cells is created for eternity. The immortal body is much more beautiful than the physical, for it possesses no defects, no parts that are inharmonious. All is well balanced in the spiritual, for the spiritual is in touch with divine life and cannot be otherwise than perfect in construction. It is a beautiful thought to realize that there can exist no crippled, deformed bodies, no sightless eyes, no defective sense of hearing, no illumination of any kind in the eternal world. Life of itself is beautiful, and how necessary that its manifestation be beautiful instead of unpleasant. The Creator has given to man the power to create beauty if he will. It seems from the sights one sees in the public walks of life, that man preferred to create ugliness instead of beauty. Beauty is of God, ugliness is of man. God has many ways of expressing himself. Nature is God materialized. His divine spark radiates all through nature. The law of production, growth and renewal is all of God. That which seems like death is only chemical action upon the different forces that are united in the building up of form. If one will watch a sunbeam as it slants across a room, he will notice tiny particles that seem to be continually moving. These particles are atoms that have been changed by the chemicalization of nature to be taken into the physical organism or into the plant life and then to be sent out again, as life is an endless round of renewal and separation. Chapter 12. Immortality of the Soul, Continued. Content in this chapter. Mighty faculties in embryo, the unfolding lilac twig, the soul, the miniature of perfection, development and unfoldment, death, a necessity, soul, permeating the body, fingertip brain, location of positive and negative forces, vibrations, electric and magnetic, soul part of the whole. The existing soul, through all the periods of its growth, holds within itself mighty faculties in embryonic form. One may find an illustration of my meaning by taking a lilac twig in midwinter and removing the little brown covering at the top of the twig.